Nice to see you and you all again. Let me just time myself so I won't go too much. So for those of you who don't know me yet, yes, my name is Kung. My full name is Kung Uk Lal. I come from Burma. Now it's Myanmar. I belong to one of the ethnic group, the northwest side of Burma, the Chin ethnic group. So in our ethnic group, we have so many different dialogue, and I belong to one of the main dialogue, and I speak Hakka Chin. That's my mother tongue. And how can I put it? Yeah. So many different languages, you know, so many different dialogue, but thankfully, at this stage, I can speak three, my mother tongue Hakka, and then Burmese, that's the official language in Burma, and English. But of course, sometimes I run out of words, but that's okay, you know. I hope it doesn't happen this morning. Yeah. So I'm really thankful. Let me just say that before I go on any topic. I'm really thankful to be here for, you know, inviting me, having me in your beautiful service this morning. Because I know that, you know, there are so many other speakers, eloquent, great speakers. You know, you just had Brian Harris, our principal, last week. And, you know, and then among them, you know, having me here, that's really a great honor for me. I'm really thankful because, you know, it is also a chance, you know, opportunity for me to speak in English. That's brick wall for me at this stage, because, you know, in our church, let me just introduce our church a little bit, because our Myanmar Baptist Church, we call it, people from Myanmar, different ethnic groups like myself and many other different ethnic group coming from Myanmar, we meet together at Noronda Church of Christ building at 1 p.m. every Sunday. So, you know, people, they arrive for different story, different life story, different hardship, different sort of, I think maybe 85% of our members will be with a refugee background, and the rest will be skilled migrant. But I came with my auntie's family. My father died when I was young, so he left my mother and my four children. And me and my brother, we came with our auntie, uncle family. They adopted us, basically. So we came with them to Australia. Our church, like I said, it's been 10 years now. And now we are having so many children now. And these children, they, of course, they understand Burmese. You know, they speak Burmese in their home. They speak their own ethnic tongue in their home. That's great. We want to keep that. But, you know, they're going to school and, you know, like myself, you know, now we're starting to speak in English to them, because we have to teach them in English. We have to introduce the Word of God in English to them, so that, you know, the main thing we want for them is so that they know God with such a young age and growing up with that knowledge, and maybe until they can learn themselves. But, you know, we don't want to, yes, like, okay, because they don't understand, they will be bored and things. We don't want that. So, starting to speak in English, and many times I forgot, you know, they fix my pronunciation, you know. If I say apple, he say apple, you know, that sort of thing. It's apple, you know. But it's just fun. It's great. So, I really honor that for having me. And so, let me just teach you, maybe, why don't I teach you one Burmese word, you know. Turn the person next to you, say Minglava. 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 Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, well, Minglava is a greeting. It's like hello, but it may be equivalent to shalom in, you know, in Greek. But it has a meaning of Minglava is a pleasant or blessed. You know, so when Jesus was talking to the people, which is known as Sermon on the Mount, he said, the Beatitudes. So that word blesses in Burmese, that's Mingla. So you know, it's a blessing word. It's such a beautiful, blessed, pleasant word. So Minglaba. So yeah, next time we meet, you know, on the street or wherever, we can say Minglaba. Or whenever you meet Burmese people, you can say Minglaba. That's a beautiful word. And now, let me just give you a scripture. It might have nothing to do with what I say, but it's a scripture. My scripture for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17. Of course, I'm sure all of you would be very familiar with it. It's all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training, and making righteous, so that the servant of God or the man of God will thoroughly be equipped or trained for every good work. So all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for basically the son of God, the servant of God, to become thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's all scripture is God-breathed. That's my scripture for this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17. At least in Burmese Bible, yes. In Burmese translation. And by the way, today, July 12th, is in Burma, is called Jason Sunday. 202 years ago, Jason, with his wife, came to Myanmar, Burma, all the way from America, to bring the Word of God, the precious Word of God to us, so that now, you know, I came to know God through someone's sacrificial act of, you know, missionary heart. So, that's just by the way. It's July 12th is our Mission Sunday. So, in our church today, we'll be celebrating our Mission Sunday. Because, you see, it is really precious for me because the Word of God now, you know, we all know that the Bible is translated, you know, into so many different languages. And I always remind our congregation that, you know, we have so many different ethnic groups, we speak different languages, but with the language that we speak, we can actually read the Word of God, the Bible, which is precious. And so, all scripture is God-breathed. But my title today, you know, like you said, is the people in the Bible who are not mentioned in the Bible. I don't know why I come up with that title. I have no idea. But it sounds good. No, the reason is, it's just there's a little perspective. Maybe through this talk, I just want to maybe, you know, we might see maybe a little different perspective. And thank you for the story this morning. That was, yeah, it's just like that, you know. We see so many, it's easier to notice the big events and the big things and the big names. And, you know, we know that. But sometimes, you know, we maybe slow down a little bit. I'm sure you did James, right? James said, you know, slow down, you know, be quick, listener. So when we slow down and we see things, we might see some things that, you know, maybe we go through every day, but only in some day, in some moment, we just, wow, you know, we notice that kind of special moment. So that was my title. But actually, that title is my conclusion statement. Conclusion statement. So let me just build up my, you know, to the conclusion. It's just that I was, you know, I didn't go and to the library or internet and research on, okay, you know, didn't go and read ancient Near Eastern texts or scripture, all other scripture. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do any that kind of research. It's just, I just read one of the Bible story, and somehow I was reminded myself, because recently I was celebrating my niece's birthday, his ninth birthday, and that remind me of that perspective. Just a little perspective, but I hope all of us can learn something from it, and we may see things differently from that as well, or more things from that. So my backdrop story, or the thing that I want to build up to conclude with the title, is that I'm sure you are familiar with the King Josiah from Judah. King Josiah, he was appointed as king when he was only 8 years old. And we can read his story in 2 Kings chapter 22, 23 and 2 Chronicles 34, 35, I think. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I think I'm pretty sure, you know, we can read about his story in that 2 Kings 22, 23 and 2 Chronicles 34, 35. So I just want to talk a little bit about Josiah. You know, we can read, of course, you know, we can read about him, but see, Josiah, he was only 8 years old when he became king, king of Judah. He was only 8 years old. And when I was celebrating my niece's 9th birthday, he was just running around and just a kid. And almost, you know, we could say he knew sort of nothing about what is happening in the world or anything. He's just family, just have fun, toys, you know, games, anything like that. Just kid being a kid, 9 years old. But King Josiah, he was only 8 years old when he became the king of Judah, the king of the nation. And when he was about 16 years old, we've learned that he actually started following towards, start learning, or he was becoming like his father's David, King David, when he was 16, when he was, well, 16. And he went, when he was about 20 years old, he started doing cleansing around the land. You know, he destroyed high places in, around Jerusalem. He destroyed high places. He even went to Israel and destroyed high places. He was doing some cleansing in the land because the people, in, they left God. And, you know, we all know the story of Israel. You know, sometimes they're good, and then most of the time they will go to foreign gods and mini gods and do a sacrifice to other gods that God really, you know, prohibit them not to do that, you know, because he himself, he alone is God. But, you know, they went to other gods, so that King Josiah, when he was about 20, he started cleansing. And, you know, we are all familiar with his story. What he did was one of the greatest reformation in Israel history. He did that. He did some cleansing. He was one of the best king, King Josiah. But he was only 8 years old when he was appointed as king. And he was, when he was 16, then he started following his father's David's step. And when he was 20, he started cleansing the land, destroying high places. And when he was about 26, we've learned from the story, we've learned from the history, that he appointed some people to make some cleaning in the temple. And his secretary, Shaphan, I think, he found the scripture. He found the scripture, and then he, you know, brought the news to king, and the king said, okay, read the scriptures to me. And when the king heard the scripture, he tore his cloth and he was just weeping because he realized that, wow, you know, our nations, we are so sinful against God now. You know, God will surely punish us. What have we done as a nation? We are so wrong now. You know, that really intrigued me a little bit, because when he was 20, he was already doing some good stuff, you know. He was already cleansing, destroying high places, those that don't belong to the Yahweh God. But then when he was 26, when he heard the scripture, when he heard the law of God, that's what it says, the law of God, then he realized, wow, as a nation, we are so wrong now. What do we do? How do we do it? You know, God will surely punish us now. And rightly so, I think after that, I think after King Josiah, there were only another four kings, and then they were taken to, captivity to the Babylon. But King Josiah, you know, the reason I'm so touched and related to this King Josiah is because he was really young when he first became king. You know, I kept saying that. And then when he was 16, he was started following to, you know, one of the greatest, the best of the best of Israel history, King David. And then when he was 20, he started doing cleansing. And that's great, good stuff, good things. He was already doing that. But when he was 26, when he heard the law of God, he realized the whole nation is wrong and they're being so sinful. and then he started doing Reformation, and then he did celebrate the Passover for the first time since the days of Judges. That's like a long time. It's like maybe more than 200 years. For about more than 200 years, Israelites, they did not celebrate the Passover. The thing that's maybe one of the most important, significant feasts that they should among their feast, because that is really significant. That's the days, the feast that actually signify or show or remind them of the slavery in Egypt and how God has brought them out from that slavery into this promised land, and how God destroyed maybe Egypt, and how he brought them out of that slavery. It's all about the Passover, the feast. It shows that. But then, and God told them to tell their generation after generation about that and teach them. But for more than 200 years, since the days of Judges, they have not been practicing or doing that feast for a long time. And it's the first time since that days, King Josiah, he led the whole nation to celebrate that Passover again. And so he was the best of the best. You know, most of the kings were really bad and wicked and evil, but King Josiah was one of the best among the kings of Judah. Now, the title, the reason I come up with this title, the people who are in the Bible but not mentioned in the Bible, is that I was thinking about King Josiah. I was thinking about King Josiah. When he first became king at the age of 8, that's really young. So I thought, when he was 16, he started following his father's David step. He became like David. Now, I thought, as a young kid, young adult, as a teen, how would he decide who to follow? How would he decide who to, who to sort of copy or imitate? Because he was young, he was really young, 9 years old, like I said, my niece, 9 years old, he's so young, so just playing around. All he thinks about is just play and just entertain himself and, just enjoy his life with his family. But King Josiah, he was 8 years old. So I thought, okay, there must be people around him. There must have been people around him who will guide him and who will teach him about King David. The story of David and how, he killed Goliath and how he took over the land and how he was so good with his life and with his relationship to God. He was named the person after God's own heart and that kind of story. People around him must have taught him that. That was what I was thinking. That's what I was reflecting through that. The people around him, they influence him. Whether we like it or not, I think, I could be wrong, but whether we like it or not, every one of us, one way or another, we are influencing others. We're influencing others, with our attitude, with our speech, with our actions. One way or another, we always influence someone else in our life. I must confess, with Peter, sometimes we talk in library, I'm going to talk about you, right? Is that okay? We talk, sometimes we have a chat in the library. It's just a small chat, but I've learned something from him. Every time we have a conversation, I've learned something, and then, I must try that. I must try that to these people. And you see, in some way, he was influencing me. And that influence, his influence towards me was very useful for me when I apply it to my my you know young people or to my church, to our church people. Like for example, let me give you one example. I'm sure you must have done this here because you told me that. I think one morning you had he was speaking and he was sort of having a devil's meeting. Remember that? The devil's meeting? No? Okay, never mind. The devil's meeting. Ooh, that's, yeah? You remember it, that's right. Okay, that's good. So he said, you know, we had a talk, the devil's meeting. Imagine I'm the devil and you are the small devils or you're the companions of the devils and and let's talk about, you know, how to destroy or how to distract Christians, basically, right? So, you know, in the devil's way. You know, I'm sure you didn't have to try hard to do that. Yeah, well, because it wasn't hard for us, you know, when I tried that with the youth, with our young people. You know, I read the scriptures and I told them, you gotta write about how to distract Christians. You know, how do we distract Christians? How do we, tempt them? You know, how do we make them not to be a good Christians or anything like that? And they come up with so many reasons, like, okay, we'll just give them this good Wi-Fi, you know. It's like, okay, that's really good. Okay, good Wi-Fi, distractions, and all distractions. But the point I want to make is, after that, I told them, okay, that's the devil. And now, you come up with that list, and look at your list. How many of them are you doing into it, you know? Because basically, you know, we just write what we usually do. That's it's distracting us. Facebook, internet, tweets, and everything. YouTube, that sort of thing. And so they come up with that. And I said, okay, now you just come up with that list as a devil. I'm not saying those are evil, but how are we? You know, how are they distracting us from becoming a good Christians? Or how are they distracting us for us to receiving the word of God in our life? What is more important? How are they distracting us in their spiritual life? And they said, wow. And then just, you know, we had a reflective moment. And after that, you know, they come up with, wow, that was great. Okay, so like, yeah. No, it's nothing about me, but the point is they've learned something from it. And they think like in different way, you know. It's easy to say someone else is bad, easy to see someone else's mistake, but when we see ourselves within like that, you know, just little twists, but then they've learned from it. The point I want to make is somehow, you know, Peter had a good influence towards me. That becomes good towards others as well through me. So that's the point I want to make. So in one way or another, we all have influence towards others, especially when you are a leader in your life. And I'm sure, you know, all of us are leader, because if you and your family, someone's leading anyway. You know, you are leading someone always, all the time. We are always leading someone all the time. So we are influencing others all the time. So with King Josiah, I was thinking about those people around him who had good influence on him, who taught him well about King David. Because obviously they just found the law of God like many years later, maybe about 18 years later when he became king. That's when they found the law of God. But then there were those people who were surrounding him, just bringing up to become the best of the best king of Judah. Because we've learned that Josiah's father was Amon. He reigned for only about 3 years in Judah, because his own people came up and kill him, murder him. And then those who kill him, the people kill them, and the people make Josiah king. So, you know, those people, they make Josiah king. And then I saw the picture that those people around Josiah, young king, those people around him, they had a good influence on him. That's why he became such a great king, one of the greatest in Judah's history. So those people, they're not really mentioned in the Bible, really. You know, we just thought that, okay, King Josiah, his mother name was Jedidah. But then that's it. But you know, he wasn't, he must have not been growing up like, okay, you know, not like that. There must have been some influence around him. And so for you and me as well, I think, you know, like I said, we all have influence on others. So what kind of influence are we giving out? You know, we all know beautiful quotes like, actions speak louder than words. You know, preach the gospel always. If you must, use words. You know, that sort of quotes. And, you know, they're great. But I just want us to maybe, you know, give us a little perspective on life and a little perspective when we read the scriptures and when we listen to the talk and sermons and preaching and everything. Because it's great. I love, you know, coming here and, you know, I was trying to learn a bit more this time, you know, reading, you know, Europe, visit your websites and read about you, but, you know, that sort of thing. And I really love it because, you see, you know, in Christianity, there are so many different denominations and no one's got it right. But, you know, all together, I think we got it right. You know, all together. It's different flavors. All together, we got it right. And so we all have influence towards others. Most of the time, you won't know it. You know, I've always heard my sisters, they said, you know, the children, they don't know when they pick up that word or that thing. Cute when they're young, yes, it's cute. But they just, I just don't know when she got that. I didn't notice. Parents, the mother, the one who spent most of the time with her children, she did not know when her child picked up that thing. She did not know. So, you see, that's the mother and the child. I mean, I can't explain more than that. I'm a son. But I'm sure if you're a mother, you can relate to it. If you're a father, you can relate to it. You did not know. Before you know it, they've learned it. They've got it. So, you know, one of the other favorite quote that I had is that the world now, I think I was listening to some apologists, and they said, the world is listening with their eyes, thinking with their feeling. You know, especially the first part, the world is listening with their eyes. Children see, children do, influence on others. And so, you know, like my scripture, all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful. It's really useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and making righteous, so that the servant of God, or the man of God, or the woman of God will thoroughly be equipped for every good work, and that will give a positive, good influence to wherever we may be, wherever we are. And thus, I've learned that thing, you know, good influence, positive influence towards others through the people who were surrounding King Josiah. So, you know, let's influence many other Josiahs. There are so many Josiahs, young Josiahs around us. Most of the time we won't notice, but they are there. So I've learned that for myself, and I have to watch how I act and how I make jokes and how am I talking with my elders and, you know, the youngs and the youth and everybody. So it was for me, and I share that with you this morning. Thank you for giving me a hearing. God bless you all. Thank you.